Hello, good morning on my side, WAT. I hope you're well today, and I'm very hopeful that this season has also really unlocked answers for you. One of the ways that I personally define success in my life is if my blind side or my blind spots are getting healed and the windows, you know, of the unknown are sort of just shrinking a bit more and more, and I'm getting the answers that I need to sort of make better these decisions, you know, build better experiences and really pursue my purpose, you know, correctly. And I hope that's happening for you as well. That is how I look at success. Well, it's one of the biggest ways that I'm always seeking success in my life, to really see clearly, to grow my understanding, and to even use previous missteps or you know, failures to shape new realities and better outcomes for myself. So today, you know, we've been on the productivity conversation for a bit, and in the course of the last week, I started to say to myself, I needed to get into a conversation about looking at our productivity fails, right, and using those answers to shape greater productivity wins in our work and in our lives, right? So today I am going to go first, but I'll challenge you to actually also make a listing. For those who belong to my coaching mastermind, when you're listening and you're sharing your own productivity fails, I promise you that it's going to become such an enriching conversation for us, because as you observe your own fails, you're going to be able to say, how can I flip that if you haven't? How can I flip these fails and make them into wins? And then as you read from others and you see the changes they've made, you know, in their own lives, it can also really give you answers for what you could do differently going forward. So what is this about? Today, we want to look at productivity fails that we've then learned from, or we are now learning from, that can actually give us bigger wins when it comes to achieving our goals, organizing our lives, managing your time, and being effective generally at your work and your priorities. So I'm going to be sharing my productivity fails with you, my top five fails, things that I didn't get right on my productivity journey earlier, and I'm now learning from, or I have actually flipped for success. And I believe just even listening to some of mine will help you pull out some of yours. And it might be totally breakthrough for some of you, because you're now going to see what you should not do or what you should do differently if they are relevant for your own work and journey. So I'm going to get right into it. And my challenge for you is to also pull out your own journal and actually start to think about the last year to 3 years and say to yourself, what did I not know before that if I knew earlier would have made a big difference for me? How was I pursuing my goal setting, goal achievement, time management, energy mastery, you know, relational intelligence, etc., that stalled my ability to succeed and to make progress? And what can I do differently going forward? Right? Or what have I changed that has given me radical success or incremental success and I didn't know before now? For me, I'll start off at my number one, which is like the biggest productivity fail that I have discovered. And I'm more brutal, gracefully brutal in the way that I approach this particular, productivity hack, because that's what it's become for me. But previously, something that definitely impeded my productivity, impeded my goal achievement, and sometimes derailed my organization's success was maintaining an unproductive senior member on my team for a long time. You know how we always have all these reasons why we don't want to let a person go if we've come to know them, come to love them, come to believe in them. But what I find is at the level of senior leadership, the moment a person is, you know, middle level management, or they're overseeing a, you know, a subsidiary, they're overseeing a project, overseeing, you know, a part of your work in a very significant way, you cannot afford to have a senior team member. Well, let me speak for myself. It derailed my vision. It had a strong effect on overall productivity within organizations. Every time that I kept a senior team member who was unproductive, who didn't have their own productivity system, who didn't have a mastery on goal setting, who didn't practice accountability to the shared commitments we had established on projects, who didn't track their work or the work of others well, who poorly managed their time, and who didn't see themselves as leaders. Whenever I left those people to continue to be in my business or in my organization because of sentimental reasons, I found that their unproductivity impacted mine. It impacted my own productivity. It stalled the growth of our organizations. It limited our ability to go where we wanted to go, because a senior leader is a culture champion. They're a custodian. You know, a senior leader is a custodian of culture, and they regulate the productivity energy even within your organization or within your team, even if it's a team of four, right? So you don't want your right-hand man to be an average or an average person or a mediocre leader. It's so unsafe, right? And that is definitely something I didn't get right, you know, at a level of my own leadership and work. And I saw the impact that it had on my productivity and the overall success of the organization. The second productivity fail I must share with you was, or is, when I used to dishonor my energy cycle. Oh my God, I used to make my boast in working very long hours and sleeping for short hours. To be honest, I still carry a belief system that a young person has to push themselves. I still believe that. I mean, you're young, so you should break your own limits, right? I still don't believe in oversleeping or overeating or overindulging in anything. I still believe that you should have cycles of high performance and high recovery. But what I have now found, which I didn't know before, and it weakened my productivity, what I now know is that we have energy cycles when we're at our finest, at our sharpest, at our best. And what I now do is I put my most creative work, you know, within my energy cycles. You can't find me holding meetings at certain times of the day. I can't get into frivolous conversations at certain times of the day. So my energy cycle, I'm at my finest and my sharpest from about 7 a.m. in the morning till 10 a.m. That's my first biggest, you know, block of big energy. And then from 10 till about 1 p.m. I'm bright and sharp, and then it begins to decline, picks up again later in the evening. So I now know that, and I pay attention. You see, I have to be in bed. I previously would work from when I put my kids in bed at about 8 p.m. I spend some time with my husband. Then I come back into my office and I start to work into the morning, right? I don't do that often anymore. I do it maybe once or twice a week, because I find that my body loves that rest. So I love to hit the bed about 10, 30, 11 now, because it really works for me. And then I can grab my 6-7 hours and kick off my day the way that I want to, right? So I am now keenly aware of my energy cycles. Well, that's been in the last maybe 3 to 5 years, but I'm saying that there was a phase of my life where I would walk overnight, literally, and be wasted in the morning. And then I'm groggy when I'm meant to be at my sharpest. So dishonoring my energy cycle previously was surely, or it, you know, was definitely something that impacted my productivity. It was a productivity fail tool. Number three, in the past, and maybe that's some 7 years ago, 5 to 7 years ago, I didn't used to have an ideas directory, and I lost good ideas, right? Now I know the impact of having an ideas directory. I know what it's done for me, and I've got an ideas directory for different expressions, different organizations, different assignments in my life. When I just get a burst of ideas, maybe when I'm meditating or praying or reading a book or coming right out of sleep, I usually have big ideas right out of sleep. It's almost as though I'm still a bit sleepy. And then when I'm just rising out, and that's why I don't like getting off the bed and just rushing out, right? I love that 15 to 20 minute margin where you're still a bit drowsy and you're getting up, right? And in that quietness, some things bubble up to my heart. And one of the ways, by the way, that I really sustain that burst of light is I choose what I think about just before I go to bed, right after prayers. And whatever thing I'm looking out for an answer concerning when I wake up, it's very likely that inspiration will float to the surface of my mind, and then I immediately capture that. And those ideas directories have transformed my life and my vision, because sometimes I will go back to stuff I wrote 2 years ago, 3 years ago. In fact, I'm doing that right now as I prepare for the Visionary Leadership Conference. There are things I've written far back as 2021, and they're coming alive now, you know, and they are ripe to take action on. So not having an ideas directory in the past surely was a productivity fail tool, but I'm not playing that game anymore. I haven't been in years, and it's remarkably impacted on my productivity positively. Number four, for me, a productivity fail that I had previously was spacing out meetings with people. What I mean is, in the past, I would say, oh yeah, we could meet on Monday. Oh, well, maybe not on Monday, because Monday has been my Sabbath day for a while. But I would say, hey, we can meet on Tuesday morning. Oh, no worries. We could meet on Wednesday evening. Oh, we could meet on Friday morning. That we'll just do 30 minutes, right? And I will think to myself, well, it's just 30 minutes here, 45 minutes there, and I'll get back to what I have to do. But the truth is, before a meeting and after a meeting, you have this preparatory margin, and you have this recovery margin after the meeting, meaning that from 15 minutes to go, well, if you're like me, you're already thinking, oh, I've got this meeting coming. Oh gosh, I have to see this person. And when you're done, you go grab water, you're thinking about what they said, you maybe want to send an email quickly because you said, hey, I'll send it right away. And what you find is well, in my case, I kept breaking my flow. I love to work in flows, and I'm able to create flow moments for myself. And by the way, you should check out Deep Work by Carl Noport. And he really teaches you how to go deep, you know, and get into your flow. And what I found was, because I spread out meetings week on week across days, I wasn't able to create incubations that allowed me really do deep work without breaking into, you know, meetings and having those interruptions. So what I do now is I stack my meetings together back to back to back to back. And I have days of the week where, you know, I just merge those meetings. And I'm happy to go from meeting to meeting to meeting, because I'm saying to myself, this is the day I'm having these meetings, and that's fine. Tomorrow, next tomorrow, I like to have wide open spaces. And my inner circle know that when people think I'm busy, oh, DDK is so busy, they're correct. But many times I actually have days when I'm busy being by myself, busy focusing on my stuff, you know, and I love lengthy hours of going into deep work. And yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be intentional about how you give yourself to meetings. Well, if you can control them, you know, Yeah, if it works for you, stack them. So a productivity fail for me was when I used to spread out my meetings, and I flipped that, and I love how it's working out for me. The final productivity fail that I want to share today is around when I used to use complicated technology, when I used to invest in complicated technology, and I thought, hey, you know, you have to just stack up on these productivity tools and technology to get where you want to go. But I found that I would struggle to understand how to use them. I would confuse one for the other. I saw that it even took a lot of work to be able to set them up. And what I've done personally is, you know, I've established productivity technology that my teams across our businesses use, but I have stayed lean. I use productivity technology for business, right? But I really stay lean to what I have found to work. I've experimented and I've found some things really favor me. And I promise you that I'm sort of old school. I don't jump on every new shiny technology. I still write a lot in my iPhone notes, a lot. And I share notes when I have to. I still use WhatsApp to communicate a lot. I still collaborate on Google Sheets and Google Docs a lot. And I find that, you know, I'm sufficiently empowered. I use my calendar to keep myself committed to my meetings. I use Calendly to get people to sign up to meetings with me. I use Paperbell to get my coaching appointments sorted. And I use my phone calendar reminders a lot. I use alarms and reminders, alarms for confessions, bi-hourly, at prayer watches. I use reminders if I need something. You know, I put my birthdays of people that I care about, I want to remember on my phone calendar, sync it to my Gmail. Just keeping these things easy has really worked for me, right? So these are things I didn't used to do, and they greatly impeded on my productivity. What would it be in your case? And maybe you can even take it further to say, what are some things I'm even currently doing that I feel are impeding on my productivity, and I need new answers to make a difference. I look forward to hearing from you. If you're in the Coaching Mastermind, 100%, you're putting this in the comments so we engage. If you're not, you can actually put the comments right here on Spotify. Thank you so much for engaging with this resource. I'd like you to know, depending on when you're interacting with this podcast, I'm going live with some phenomenal thought leaders and leadership experts this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7th to 9th of September, on the Visionary Leadership Intensive. And by the 29th and 30th of September 2023, we'll go live with the Visionary Leadership Conference. We've got Rhett Power, Dr. Ole Konovalov, Fela Durotoye, Dr. Niyi Borireno, host of extraordinary speakers and teachers joining us. Use the link to check out what we're working on, register, and I can't wait to share moments with you. It's been a great conversation today, I hope, and I'm of faith and I'm carrying such conviction in my heart that you'll spend the next months in this year, the remaining months in this year, making meaning of your purpose, aligning to your original design, and doing great things. See you soon.